Hello and welcome to a bonus podcast from Starside Chat. I'm one of your hosts, Zach Owens, and joining me, as always, is Aaron Capo.
Part two.
Part two of our Summer Games Fest coverage. We're going over the Xbox Game Showcase for 2023 that includes the Starfield Direct. So if you're looking for the main Summer Games Fest episode, that's also in this podcast feed, but it's a different episode.
Now, I want to give a shout out before we start talking about Microsoft. Did you watch the Wholesome Direct or the Future Game Show yesterday?
I did not, no.
I did, and it was a lot of stuff, but I really only found like five things that I was interested in, which I wanted to shout out. There was a game called Everdeep Aurora that has a really cool art style that I think is coming just to PC. It was the PC game, Future PC Game Show, and the Wholesome Direct were yesterday. Everdeep Aurora was very cool. The Bookwalker was only a CG trailer, but I like the aesthetic of it. I don't know what the actual game will be like. And then the coolest one that I don't know if you've seen anything about is a game called Cookie Cutter. Have you seen anything about that?
No.
Cookie Cutter is a Metroidvania where you play as this like robot girl, and it's like the animation style is crazy. It's like hyper violent at times, and it looks very cool. It looks really, really interesting and doing some interesting things, even though it's just like a Metroidvania. Those are three that I would definitely check out, as well as I think the only thing from the Wholesome Games Direct I liked was a little game where you're a little mushroom called Smooshy Come Home. And that was interesting. It's available now. You can buy it now. All these other ones, I don't know if they had tentative release dates or not, but definitely check out Everdeep Aurora and Cookie Cutter are the two that I think are very interesting and I think near completion.
I guess if we're doing that like cleanup from Summer Games Fest, I don't know that we actually mentioned that Lies of P game got a demo.
Oh yeah, that's available. Did you check that out?
I downloaded it to my PS5, but I haven't started it yet. I did watch somebody play it, and it makes me think a little bit of that like Steel Rising game, where it's just like it wants to be kind of Souls-like, but I don't know if it's going to be like a huge hit. Some of it is just like people being excited about, you know, Elden Ring and stuff like that, and they're like, oh, here's a like weird Pinocchio Souls-like game. But I don't know. It looks kind of cool, but maybe I'll try it out. This weekend like is when all the showcases have happened, but like I've had family in town, and we've been celebrating my dad's birthday, so I've kind of missed out on some of the non-main showcases. So I'm going to have to go back and check some of those out. But
and still more showcases to come. Tomorrow we're going to get the Ubisoft Forward and the Capcom whatever. And I still maintain we might get a Nintendo thing later in the week, but who knows?
Yeah, I do hope we get some sort of Nintendo something, even if it's like a smaller, like, I don't know, they have their sort of almost quarterly directs that they do, so I don't know. Just give us something and announce a new Mario game.
well so let's dive into it.
I was going to say, this kind of had one of the core tenets of your showcase.
It had all three, actually.
It did have all three, but it started out with one where it was like a mysterious trailer. You had no idea what was going on. Richard Iwadi shows up and he's just, it's literally just him. He's not playing a character. It's just Richard Iwadi. And he like, it was weird to me because it's like he's in a hobbit house, but he has like normal glasses on and stuff like that. And I was like, is this a period piece? Like, what is happening right now? And then it turns out he's a giant, and there's this like little person that sort of invades his house, and they're fighting, and I guess you get to kill Richard Iwadi.
So did you play Fable 1 or Fable 2?
I played part of Fable 2. I never finished it, and that was a long time ago, so I have only the vaguest recollection of these games.
Was there a Fable 3? I don't remember.
There was a Fable 3. It was not as favorably reviewed, I don't believe.
I played like the intro to my one friend had an original Xbox, and he was like, "Man, you got to check out this Fable game. Come over and we'll start a new game." We played like the first like 3 hours of it, and then I never played it again. But I remember it having the quirky sense of humor that this that this trailer has.
Yeah, I think it was the most unexpected thing in the world to just hear his voice and all of a sudden see him as, and I guess he's playing a giant, and like him trying to like smash and kill somebody. It was just like so wildly out of character for Richard Ayoade. Just, I mean, even to be in a video game at all was surprising to me.
But it's interesting. It's definitely, did they give a release date? I don't think they did.
I don't think so. It seems like this game is still a ways out, but it was interesting to actually finally see something from it. I was actually thinking about Richard Ayoade just this morning, honestly. I was like, why hasn't he directed any more movies? Like, I loved Submarine. But then he did that one, I think it was called The Double, which is based on a book, and it had Jesse Eisenberg in it. And I think
I did that, not see that one.
I think it didn't do very well, and so he just hasn't directed a movie since. But
Submarine was great.
Submarine was great. I love that movie. And obviously, I'm a huge fan of the IT Crowd, so I don't know. He needs to be in more stuff. He's mainly a presenter, and like he's on these like
funny, those talking like, heads shows.
Yeah, those shows. But
this was a great thing about this presentation was that it was very little interstitials. They showed three games before they even revealed a person talking to screen. And the second game they showed was that South of Midnight. What did you think about this?
Now, this is a little bit like we kind of talked a little bit before the show's like sort of our overview sort of rating for the show. And you said you're closer to an A, and I think I might be there. It's tough. I'm like maybe B plus, A minus. And I think some of that is because there were a lot of cinematic trailers. Like the start of the show, it kicks off with a lot of cinematic trailers, including this one, South of Midnight. And there was the next one, not to jump too far ahead, it was a Star Wars game that was heavily, you know, cinematic trailer that doesn't really give you any sense of what the gameplay is going to be like. And same for Fable as well. You have no clue what the gameplay of that is going to be like from it. And so that's sort of a mark against it. And then in the middle of the show, there was sort of a lot of like, here's a DLC for an existing game. And, you know, Microsoft owns, you know, a bunch of studios now that are running game as service games like Fallout 76 and Sea of Thieves and ESO. And they may very well have Blizzard. So you're going to get a lot of Overwatch stuff. And so those are just going to be part of Xbox showcases now.
Yeah,
like it or not. And so I don't know, this South of Midnight was something new, I guess, but
I
don't know, what was your impression of it?
It's interesting. The art style is interesting. It was almost like claymation, and it seems it's like a New Orleans style thing. I think she had an umbrella on her back is what she had something on her back, the main character. And I think it was maybe a closed-up umbrella. I don't know what that means. But, I mean, I'm into it. I like new IP. It's going to be Xbox. This and I think Star Wars Outlaws are both Xbox exclusives. As well as Fable, of course. Actually, you know what? Star Wars Outlaws might not be exclusive. But, I mean, I'm all for new IP. So, I would be interested to see. I would assume this is going to be a third-person action game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little less and less in on Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. This seems more interesting to me than the Star Wars Jedi series for some reason. I don't know why that one doesn't interest me. But, like, this being, it seems like maybe it's a little bit going for that Uncharted, but as what is the word? What's Han Solo? What is his?
A smuggler.
Smuggler. Why can I not think of the word smuggler? Mm-hmm. Sometimes words just fall out of my brain. Anyway, if you're playing like that kind of a character in the Star Wars universe, that seems more interesting to me for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So they say this is coming 2024. That was pretty general, but that was kind of the time frame for it. But
now, this was a fully cinematic trailer, but in the trailer, they were like, guess what? tune into the Ubisoft Forward on Monday, and you're going to get a gameplay walkthrough.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So there will be more of this. So maybe if you're like me and you're a little harsh on them for having a lot of cinematic trailers to start things off. But there was like it sort of follows the new Star Wars format of like have a character and then a cutesy little creature that is their pal. Like that they have that in this trailer. You've got, I don't even know how you would describe the little cutesy creature that is sort of like
I think the thing that turned me off of Jedi Survivor is that it was a little bit of a Souls-like a little bit where it was mostly combat focused and you had like basically Estus flasks and your little BD guy. Whereas this, I think you're right, is probably going to be more Uncharted-esque, which is more interesting to me. But maybe that's not the case. Maybe it's just going to be shooting and running and gunning. But
yeah, I guess we'll find out during that Ubisoft Forward.
We'll tune in on Monday and see.
So do you remember this 33 Immortals game?
Yeah. It's not something I'm super interested in. It's by the people that made Spiritfarer. And it's top down. And you play, I guess, at all times you play with 33 people. It's 33 player co-op. And I don't know if it's like a last man standing type of thing or what the gameplay loop is. I don't know. This one did not wow. This was the first trailer where I was like, okay, I can kind of tune out a little bit.
Yeah. That felt kind of the same. I mean, conceptually, it's interesting to go, okay, well, people like these sort of massive multiplayer games. What if we did like sort of a co-op version of that?
It's basically just the raid of a massive. They've cut everything else out of an MMO except for the raid experience, and you just jump right to that.
Yeah, I wonder how like dependent it will be on like communication, especially when you've got 33 people.
I would assume there's not going to be voice chat. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
But something that will have voice chat probably is Payday 3.
Yeah, so what did you think of this? It almost looked a little bit like they were sort of going for a Rainbow Six Siege type of a thing for me.
There's gadgets now. I've never played any of these Payday games, but it seems like they're leaning into like fully simulating systems and stuff, and you can get crazy, like you can rappel down things, and you've got like a cell phone that has apps on it that can turn stuff on and off. I don't know. I've never really been into these, but I know that there's like a big player base that loves Payday 2 and they've supported the game for a super long time and are constantly adding content to it. So I don't know what the numbering it up to 3 now brings to it, but I mean, I didn't hate this trailer. It's not something I'm going to check out. What about you?
Yeah, I don't think I will either. I'm not really into the Rainbow Six Siege thing. Yeah. So I mean, it could very well be that I'm reading into that a little bit too much, but and maybe it is a little bit more of like an arcade-y shooter than I'm thinking it's going to be, but it does seem Siege-like, so I don't know.
How about this Persona 3 Reload?
People have wanted a Persona 3 remake/remaster for a really long time, and so it's finally happening. Xbox seems to have like a really good deal going with Atlas right now where they're bringing all their games to Game Pass, so... Mm. Getting the remaster or slash remake that everybody has wanted for Persona 3 and then sort of bringing it in line with sort of what you expect from like Persona 5, for instance, and bringing it to Xbox and Game Pass, I think that's a good deal for everybody. So I don't know, like these games are so long is the only thing. I find them a little intimidating, but I think it's cool.
So like 33 Immortals and Payday 3 and Persona 3, I didn't super care about, but this next one was where I started to tune in a little bit again.
Now, this, like, obviously Starfield was sort of the main showpiece, but that was sort of after. If we take it just as the Xbox showcase part of the show, Avowed was my game of the show. For sure.
Ooh, interesting.
And then obviously Starfield I count as something kind of separate, but
that makes sense.
I have really been anticipating seeing more of this game because I like Obsidian. I think they make really good RPGs.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, like recently, I don't know if the strategy has changed at all now that they're under the same umbrella as Bethesda, but like their thing was, you know, we're just going to do what Bethesda does, but we're going to do it our way. Because they came up with the Outer Worlds, and
it was great.
And it was basically, you know, Fallout slash sort of looking ahead to what Starfield is doing, but in a shorter, more compact type of a game. And I really like that game. And now they're doing Avowed, which is basically Obsidian's version of The Elder Scrolls. And so to finally actually see some gameplay of this was very, very cool.
The magic systems look cool. The combat looks good. It's got a very striking style. Like, there's a shot in the trailer where it's showing like another world where there's like these mushrooms, and the colors really pop in it more than I think anything in Skyrim ever did.
Yeah, it is definitely going for like a little bit more of a saturated art style, I think, comparatively, but Skyrim was also a long time ago.
True.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm into it. I will definitely check this out when it comes out, which they say is 2024, but that's as specific as they could be. But it is cool that they sort of have like the whole, like, you know, you're shooting a magic power out of one hand while you're wielding like a melee weapon in the other, or you can.
And there are guns.
Yeah, there are guns as well, or you can dual wield weapons, or you can dual wield magic, and it's just like, I don't know. It's definitely, they're sort of beating Bethesda to the punch when it comes to following up Skyrim. So.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? I mean, it seems like they're full steam ahead on Starfield for the foreseeable future. I can't imagine we're going to see anything about Elder Scrolls 6 for quite some time.
Yeah.
I would guess like 2 years, maybe
even
more.
I would. They're all hands on deck at this point with Starfield for sure.
Do you own Sea of Thieves? I do.
I don't. I never did pick it up.
I picked it up. One of my friends wanted to play it like 2 or 3 years ago. It was like at the beginning of the pandemic. He was like, "Let's check out Sea of Thieves," and it was like $30 on Steam. And it's fun. Like, it was definitely fun to just like mess around in it. But they have kept adding content to it. I feel like every Xbox showcase, they are like, guess what? Here's something else for Sea. Last year, I think it was that Captain Jack Sparrow DLC. And now they're adding Monkey Island.
Yeah, when I saw the Lucasfilm logo pop up, I was like, oh, weird. Are they going to add like Indiana Jones as some sort of like tie-in because the movie's coming out?
Be,
and then they said Monkey Island. I was like, oh, okay, no, that makes a lot more sense.
I'm into this. I don't know that it's going to make me jump back in. I don't have like nostalgia for Monkey Island, but it's cool, I think. I think this is like a good integration.
They said it is coming free and July 20th. So if you already play Sea of Thieves, this is a cool little additional piece of content for you. So there's that.
I liked it. It was a cool surprise. I like to see those weird collaborations.
Yeah.
Which the next game also has a weird collaboration. If you ever wanted to fly that thing from Dune, you can now do that in Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024.
Yeah, those bug copter things.
I forget what they're called. Yeah, there's something copters. Ornithopters, maybe?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's I think you're right. Ornithopter, something like
that. I
don't
know. It's been a while since I watched that movie. But I thought this was cool. I liked that because in the last Flight Simulator game, you basically, I think, were just given go to point A or like leave from point A, get to point B missions. But this looks like they're adding a ton of extra things, like new types of missions, a bunch of new vehicles. So I thought this was a cool, I guess, I don't think it's a DLC. I think it's a full new game, I want to say.
Yeah, that was not clear to me. I was not sure what to make of that.
I think it is a full new game.
The title screen just said Flight Simulator 2024. So,
yeah.
I mean, it could just be that they used the year for whatever one it is. I don't remember what they did for the last one.
I also don't remember. I think it was just called Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Yeah, so maybe now they're doing a year to sort of indicate which version it is. But yeah, it definitely seemed like they are, there's like a lot more to it. It's not just like getting a plane and fly from point A to point B and like see the sights. This seems like there's a ton of different things that you can do.
So now that they have the framework of the last one, they can, they've just, it's almost similar to Tears of the Kingdom, where it's the same map, but they've built all these extra things onto it, and now there's all this extra stuff you can do.
Yeah, and I do think it's cool that they're integrating like different movies. Like they had a Top Gun DLC for the previous flight simulator, and so with this one, seemingly maybe not right out of the gate, but like they're gonna have a Dune tie-in, which is very cool.
Now I don't know, like you were only flying in deserts during the part where they showed that ornithopter, so I wonder if that's on Earth, or if you actually, like, if Arrakis is a playable environment you can go to. That would be crazy.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that.
Do you care about Senua's, how do you say this?
Senua's Saga. I played the first one and thought
it was cool. You played the first one, yeah.
This is another one that was like a cinematic trailer, though. It is very weird because like everything that's happening in these games is sort of like happening sort of in her mind. And she's a character who sort of has psychosis. So,
but wait, like, what about that previous trailer for this one with the giant, the big giant guy?
Yeah, that's why it's so weird to me, because it is sort of like, I don't even know how you would describe it, like a crazy, like her perception of reality. And so that's why everything is all weird. But in the last one, it was like she was with like a big group of people. Like in the first game, she's mainly by herself, which is why it would make sense why she keeps encountering these weird things, but doesn't really have anyone else to sort of witness it with her. And that's why the trailer, the initial trailers where she was with a big group of people and it was like they were fending off these giants. It was just like, I kind of don't understand what's happening here. This other cinematic trailer that they had in the showcase was a little bit more like, okay, I can see where this would just be like, you know, her vision of what's happening, because there's no one else there, but also like still you can't understand it.
Yeah,
especially out of context like this. But
a very serious and sober trailer to, and then immediately after that we got probably the funniest trailer of the showcase.
So there, it's the next in line for Ichiban Kasuga in the Like a Dragon games. This one I think was called Infinite Wealth.
Yeah,
it's a weird title for a game, but he like washes up on the beach, seemingly in America, because they're all speaking English.
Everyone's speaking English.
He's speaking Japanese, and he's naked, and he doesn't realize it at first, and it's very funny because everybody's like either freaking out or like, oh yeah, hang loose, and then
do you think this is California?
That or Hawaii?
Yeah, it could be Hawaii, actually. I don't know. It's interesting, because I guess you won't be going, revisiting, what was the town in the last one you hung out in?
Kamurocho?
Yeah, Kamurocho. I wonder if it isn't going to be like a fake American island that's like a Hawaii analog almost. Because Kamurocho is not a real place, right? It's like a stand-in for something
else. Yeah, I mean, it could be that they've created their own like sort of fake island version of something akin to Hawaii.
But it is definitely going to be, it seems, at least partially set in a place that's mostly English-speaking, which is interesting.
Yeah, so he'll maybe make friends with some English speakers, and maybe he'll learn English. It will be definitely a different dynamic for sure.
And it's coming out, they say, in 2024.
Yeah, 2024 could be a big year. Now, the way things have gone the last few years, I think that some of the stuff is going to get pushed back, because I feel like I saw a lot of early 2024, and I feel like there won't be that much that drops early 2024.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
Especially with, you know, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming early 2024 as well. But I don't... Did this say... Yeah, it did also. This was another early 2024 window. So I can see some more stuff getting pushed back, but it could be a crazy year next year.
Let's hope so. What about this Kunitsugami, Path of the Godless?
I did not know how to pronounce that. That was This was the weird one that looks like underwater samurai stuff.
Yeah, happening. Like coral-esque. That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah, I didn't know what to make of this game, to be honest.
Yeah, this one, I a little bit tuned out just because I couldn't really figure out what was going on. And then Forza was right after this, and that was where I went to the bathroom, because who cares about Forza?
Yeah.
And then after that, Overwatch 2 Invasion, which I thought they said they were getting rid of the story stuff.
Yeah, that's why this was so confusing to me. Yeah. Because I was like, didn't they drop the...
I thought they did.
Co-op, like PvE stuff? And then they were like, oh, by the way, we got a new co-op event and story missions coming. I'm like, wait, so did you drop it or did you not drop it?
It's a weird choice, but I mean, more power to them, I guess. It's not going to make me jump back in, but it seems like they're still going strong. Persona 5 Tactica, is this something you would check out? It's you're a big fan of Persona 5.
I did love Persona 5, and I did play the other spinoff, Persona 5 Strikers, and I really liked that. I don't know. I don't really like the art style for this.
Yeah, they're like little chibi characters.
Yeah, they've made it almost a little bit more chibi. If it's possible to go more cartoony, they've done that. but it's like a tactics version of Persona, which I'm not against, but
yeah, I like a grid-based thing.
Yeah,
but.
So I don't know if what I wanted Atlas to show was Persona 6.
And I thought they were doing that later on.
Oh yeah. Not to spoil things ahead, but they did have another reveal in this showcase. But
I was like, oh my god, this must be Persona 6. But then it was not. there was a weird. This kind of freaked me out. Right after the Persona 5 Tactica, they showed a Starfield trailer, and I was like, "Man, are we already at the Starfield Direct?"
Yeah.
But no, it was just a trailer for some reason, and then at the end, it was like, "Stay tuned afterward to see like the full deep dive." But I guess we'll hold off on talking about Starfield for now. What do you think of this Jusant? I think it's how you pronounce it.
Yeah. It seems like you're doing a lot of climbing.
Yeah, it's like a climbing game. Is.
I'm not a huge fan of climbing in games. In fact, you do a lot of climbing, or you could do a lot of climbing in Tears of the Kingdom, and I have specifically made use of Zonai devices to avoid all climbing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... I mean, the splash screen at the end was like, Jusant, climb, comma, fall 2023. So it's all about climbing.
Is Jusant, is it French for climb?
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't know.
I have no idea. I kind of like the art style of it, but yeah. I don't know if I'm super into that game. Seemed like they kind of hit with a handful of indie titles after Persona 5.
Yeah.
There was the Dungeons of Hinterberg.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one as well?
I don't super care about that. I didn't like the art style, and I don't know. Something about it just wasn't jiving for me.
Yeah, it didn't do much for me either. And then Keanu Reeves came out on the stage and said that he's very excited to be working with Idris Elba, and Phantom Liberty is coming. Did I see that right? September 26th, or was it October?
September, yeah. It looks great. It looks very cool.
Yeah, it almost... Like, it's so long after the initial release of Cyberpunk that it almost makes me wonder, is this like a sequel? But I think it is just like a big DLC.
I don't know. I mean, he keeps saying, like, the main pull of the story is like, hey, if we go to this place, this person maybe has a cure for us. And depending on how you played the main game, you've still got him in your head. I think there's one ending where you still have them in your head and you're not sure what you're going to do, at least. But this could also just like slot in somewhere where it's like before you do the final choice and you're like, well, let's go to this other place. But I mean, it looks cool. If I play this, I will have to play it from fresh because I never extracted my save data from Stadia.
Oh, yeah.
Which isn't a terrible thing. I loved that game, and I think I would like to play it in a different way. I went full hacker where I was like hacking into everything at the end, but I think I would like to go full cool next time where I have like blades and I what's that? What's the mode you get into? Like cold blooded or something?
I don't remember what it was called. Yeah,
but I think if this is like reviewed very well, I might jump back in and like play it on PC and do this. But who knows? I want to see more of the stuff. I would assume there's going to be new mods and new powers and things and new guns, obviously. But I liked the look of this and I thought it was very cool.
With it being so far away from the original release, I almost think it has to be like a separate thing you enter, like a different thing you can load into from the main menu, as opposed to just like that. Pick up where you left off and your save, and or find a, you know, one of your saves where you can access this.
That would be cool if it was just on the main menu and yeah. It like almost started you fresh. I would definitely play it if that's the case.
Because when did this come out again? It was like 2021.
It's been a while. It's kind of skewed for me because I started and stopped it like 3 times, and I finally beat it like at the end of last year.
Yeah, because I played this through, and it's been a long time. Yeah. And I wouldn't be able to begin to tell you like what my build was and where I was at and like what the buttons were for doing different things in this game. So
yeah,
I wouldn't hate it if they even started me out with a tutorial, be like, hey, remember, this is how this works. But
it'd be cool.
Maybe that's just me.
I'd love it.
Now, I know another thing that you love, and it's City Skylines.
Yeah, I played a good amount of it back in the day. I used to follow a group of YouTubers who all got into it for a while, and it was cool. It was a little bit of a solution to the latest SimCity game being awful and like having a bunch of weird integrations that you had to play online, but then someone edited the game files and they figured out that you didn't have to be online. It was just DRM that was poorly implemented. But anyway, City Skylines 2 seems like it adds a ton of stuff from the first case of City Skylines, which, again, this is another game where they supported it for years and years and years afterward. It got so many DLC drops and like extra content packs. So I actually might check this out. It's been I think City Skylines 1 is the last city builder game I ever played. And I might check this out, although I don't think I would check it out on console. I think this game needs to be played with a mouse and keyboard. But I was all about this. I thought this was I knew it was already coming and we already had that CGI trailer, but it was nice to see actual gameplay.
Yeah, and the trailer shows like a mouse being used to like interact with everything. So it definitely seems like even the developers are like, yeah, you probably want to play this with a mouse. I wonder if you could use a mouse and keyboard with the Xbox version. Because I know you can do that with some games. Yeah. So, yeah.
I want to get to Starfield, but we have a couple more things to talk about in the main showcase. There is the thing that we thought, or at least I thought, was Persona 6, which is called Metaphor Refinatio.
Yeah, I had no idea how to pronounce this thing. Interesting that it is the makers of the Persona games.
It looks like a Persona game. Even like the UI looks like a Persona game.
Like they kept like showing these different like cutaways to like menus and stuff. They're like, yeah, no, we're still doing like really artsy, like cool looking, like flashy menus and stuff like that. And you don't often see like them just pull up a menu in like a trailer, but they did it in this because they do such a great job with those.
I have a lot of thoughts on when that happens in the Starfield thing also, not to get too far ahead of ourselves.
I'm open to see more about anything that comes from those guys because I think they do like the Persona games are so good. So
Towerborn was the next thing they showed. I don't have any strong opinions about this. I didn't super like the art style, and it seems like it's just a side scroller.
Yeah, or maybe like a 2.5D like side-scrolling beat-em-up maybe co-op game. I'm not sure.
coming in 2024. Clockwork Revolution, though.
This new did look IP. Cool.
Yeah, this looks interesting.
It looked kind of Bioshock-like.
Yeah, a little Bioshock-y, definitely steampunk. You're controlling, it seems like you are shaping reality by traveling time. Like, you go back in time, you change something, you go forward in time, something's different. But then also, on a, like, minute-to-minute level, you're, like, you can, like, make things go backwards, almost like Recall and Tears of the Kingdom. But it's interesting. It seems like it's got a weird, an interesting plot where there's like a central villain who knows that you can shape time that is trying to prevent you from doing that. And maybe she also has the ability to shape time. Interesting guns, interesting robots, very cool looking robots.
Yeah.
What did you think about this? I think that this was a good game to end on, I thought.
Yeah, it was definitely a strong way to end the show, like revealing a new thing that I don't think this was on, at least as far as I know, not on anyone's radar.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looked very cool, a very cool art style, cool setting. And it did say at the very end, it was like coming in due time. Like they didn't even give like a window of like a full year.
I mean, it does look like it's coming along, though. It seemed like they had a number of segments that were, I mean, all of that I think was gameplay. There was very little CGI.
Yeah, it didn't look like a you know, cinematic trailer. It looked like in-game assets for everything. So I'll give them credit for
that. Phil Spencer came on the stage, and the final thing they talked about was that there's a new Xbox Series S that is black and now has a terabyte of space as opposed to. I don't know what did the regular Xbox Series S come with? I assumed it came with a terabyte, but I guess not.
I guess it was maybe 500 gigs. I don't know.
That seems crazy, but because a PS5 comes with a terabyte, right?
I believe so, and I think the Series X does as well. But yeah, they were. He was basically like, yeah, a lot of people have complained about not enough storage space on the Series S. Especially considering, like, it doesn't have a disk drive.
Yeah, so you have to download stuff.
You have to, like, all your games have to be downloaded. So,
now, like,
finally giving you a console that has more space for that. So,
this was pretty much it. And this did have all my hallmarks of a good press conference. It had the thing at the beginning where you don't know what it is. And then a bunch of trailers, not a lot of developer interviews. And then the one more thing is a little bit of a cop-out because it is just Starfield. But it's a great... He called it the greatest one more thing, which I'll give him that. I thought it was going to be, he had that Hexen shirt on, and I thought they were going to reveal some sort of new Hexen game, but that did not happen. I'm very interested to know why he was wearing a Hexen shirt. But,
I mean, I don't know what it would have been, but they should have done a different one more thing and then been like, okay, that's the end of this show. Here's the Starfield one.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'll still give it to them just because the Starfield thing was so good.
Yeah.
But,
It worked for me. I wasn't upset about it, but
let's get into it, Zach. Lay it on me. Give me the deets.
There are over 1,000 worlds. This new animation system they talked about. Obviously, you can still play in first and third person, and they talked about like an updated like sort of shooter sort of combat system.
The shooting looks good. The shooting looks better than Fallout shooting. I'll say that.
I think this looks better than the last time they previewed it. Just visually and the way it runs. I think the last trailer they showed, like some of the gameplay, it seemed a little choppy to me, and this seems much smoother. So I think they've made a lot of improvements in that time. It seems like it's gonna do everything I want, where it's going to sort of be No Man's Sky, but with like people and stories, and you know, you can build your outpost and you can build your ship and you can go around and collect resources, but there's also like stories to unfold as well. It's not just like, here's a big sandbox, go find something to build. There's going to be actual quests and actual like, you know, NPCs to talk to and learn about and meet, and there's RPG elements and everything. So it does feel like it's combining that No Man's Sky with like Mass Effect / you know, Elder Scrolls or Fallout, you know, which is what I wanted it to be.
They talked about so much stuff. I wonder if it would be easier to wrap our heads around it if we both just picked like three interesting things to start out with. and just focus. Because there was a 45 minute, I think it was over 45 minutes of content where they were constantly throwing information at us. Probably my first thing would be all of the guns look like very interesting and unique. And there's, I guess, three different types. There are regular guns, and then there are energy guns, and then there are like mag guns or whatever. And the mag guns do like a ton of damage and have like laser sights. But every time they pulled out a new gun, I was like, man, that thing looks very cool, like bespoke, like interesting little dongles on it and stuff. A problem I had with Fallout 4 is like all of the guns tended to look a little samey. And I guess that was maybe the aesthetic, because everything was like made out of pipes and like everything was super old. And sometimes you would get a laser gun, but it would be basically just be like a box, really. But my first thing I'm interested in is all of the guns I thought were super interesting.
My first thing would be like building and upgrading your own ship.
That was crazy, yeah.
I was like, I want to make the Normandy. I want to see if it'll let me do it when the game comes out. I want to try to build the Normandy in Starfield and see if I can get something like a close approximation to the Normandy. And sort of seems a little bit modular, where you can like, okay, I'm going to put, you know, the control room here. I'm going to put like a storage space here, and, you know, like a crew quarters here or something like that. And you can
get more than one. He keeps talking about adding to your fleet. So I think you can build a ship, but also they talked about you can capture ships as well.
Yeah, that was another thing that was super exciting to me. That probably would have been my number two, was you basically can play a space pirate where you're going around and you're like shooting other ships, and you can sort of take them down, and then you can either choose, okay, I'm just gonna blast them apart because I don't want to deal with this and destroy them. Or you can sort of dock with them and like take people captive, because you can add people to your crew as well. And then you can like take whatever you want from that ship, or you can keep the ship and add it to your fleet. So you can have more than one ship as well, which is crazy to me. It just seems like we're sort of at that point right now where you've talked about this with other games, where you're like, I can't see the limits of this. It just seems like you can do anything in this game, and it's very exciting. But
so a criticism I have of Bethesda games is I don't know that they've ever super nailed the inventory system. In Skyrim, it was built for controllers, and like the inventory, this is the same in Fallout 4. You would pull up your Pip-Boy, and it was not super visual. Like, you basically just got text of what it is. But with this one, first of all, I guess my number two thing is the UI is great. I love the NASA punk, like, aesthetic they're going for.
Yeah.
And with this, it's split the screen. So now everything, you got kind of like this in Fallout 4, where you had like a representation of stuff. But with this, when you select something in your inventory, to the right, it shows like a full resolution. This is what this thing is. And they've like 3D modeled. They showed a bunch of the food that they have 3D modeled and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a better version of the inventory. It's not exactly what I want. Like, it doesn't look as like sortable as I want it to be. Last time I played Skyrim, which was years ago, I did the thing that people usually do where they download Skyrim, and then they download a bunch of mods for Skyrim.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what the mod I used was, but there was one that really streamlined inventory.
Yeah, I was going to say, they have to know that that's like one of the biggest criticisms of Skyrim, because like you said, like anybody who plays it on PC, the first thing they do is download the mod for the menu.
And I wonder if, we didn't get a lot of showing of it, but I need to like go back and look at it more. I think maybe they've solved some of the problems with the inventory. I'll be curious to see. They definitely have fixed, I like the weapon wheel that they have, where it seems like it's tied to the D-pad. And you can like go up, 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 or down, down, down to select different weapons. But that's my number two, is like inventory / UI seems pretty great. And I love the look of it.
Yeah, I am also like super excited about it. I love, like you said, the NASA punk aesthetic that they're going for. It kind of makes me think of The Expanse. which I think was vaguely
that's
similar.
A great touch point. Yeah.
And I loved The Expanse. So like having a game that sort of has sort of borrowed maybe a somewhat similar sort of style for its like tech and suits and things like that is I think a good way to go. I also loved the where they showed sort of the star map and they were like,
yeah,
you'll have to upgrade your ship to be able to jump further. Yeah. And there's like 1,000 different planets or whatever, and you can sort of go to them all, and some of them will be more about resources and others will have like actual like cities and stuff like that to go to. Again, this is like really touching on what I want them to eventually do with No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
But where there are like planets aren't just about collecting resources, and like you can still sort of, it seems like you still are able to do that, and you're able to sort of catalog, okay, here's the different like plant life and all of this stuff. And they talked about how there would be rewards for doing all of that stuff in Starfield. And of course you're doing that in No Man's Sky as well, but No Man's Sky, like you run out of, like my attention sort of runs dry eventually with that sort of stuff. And I wish there were more like story missions and some sort of like progression system to go along with that. And there isn't in that, but there will be here in Starfield. So I think that's why this has me a lot more excited.
My third thing is somewhat unrelated to the game, but it's all of the like extra stuff. I gotta say, I like that watch, man. They give you that watch and that box. I clocked that box when they cut back to Todd Howard sitting with that guy, and that guy had the box in his hands. I was like, man, they're gonna talk about that watch. I gotta get that watch. And they also revealed that cool controller as well. There's a Starfield controller that looks very cool, and a headset that also looks interesting that I don't need. I don't think I need the headset. But that watch and that controller look pretty cool.
They did. The controller, and I think the headset as well, leaked ahead of this showcase.
Oh, really?
So I had already seen those, and I was like, that is a pretty cool design. I don't know that I need it, but it is cool. I don't know if I need the watch either. I a little bit want it, though.
I also...
It is pretty cool.
Yeah, it depends on how much money it is. It's a cool... I don't have a smartwatch currently.
Well, so that was my question, is how much of a smartwatch is it? Is it just like stylized to look like one, but it's mostly just a normal watch?
That's a good question. All I really need a smartwatch to do is let me know when my phone is ringing and let me know when I have notifications. I'm not super interested in like talking into my watch or trying to text on my watch. So I'm cool if it just does those two things, but I don't know. I don't know if I will get this like super special edition, because I read a rumor that the like deluxe collector's edition is like, it's going to be like $330.
I wonder how many different SKUs they'll have. Cause there's almost always, I did see there was like some sort of like collector's thing that is up on like Bethesda store right now that has like the sort of statue of that robot.
Oh, yeah.
Can be a companion. And that was like pretty expensive. And I don't know if that even included the game or not. So
now, that was another interesting tidbit. We got a ton of interesting tidbits. But the your companion that comes with you, you can choose to have them stay at the ship, which I think is great, because I think I probably will, like in most Bethesda games, I probably will go a stealth route, which they talked about. They talked about like modding your weapons to have silencers and stuff. But I think it's cool that, and also in the like shipbuilding thing, one of the like attributes of the ship as you're building it is like number of crew it can contain. So like your first one can only contain 2 crew, but as you add more things onto your custom ship, you can have that full Normandy experience of like people are like sitting at different bays and whatnot. And people give you, I guess, different attributes to your ship as well. They were talking about like, well, this person has like astroneering as one of their traits, and like go pick up people from starports and like build your perfect crew, or like encounter people in the wild that you can add to your crew. And I wonder how much of that is like going to be procedurally generated, or how much are they like bespoke, interesting one-off characters that you have to go to a specific place to get. I don't know. I still have a lot of questions about the procedurally generated planets, which they touched on a little bit. How I think maybe terrain and stuff is procedurally generated, but then they have systems that build onto that and put like interesting points of interest into worlds. So you and a friend can go to the same planet, but have different experiences. But I think maybe the planet looks the same. I'm not sure. I'll be very interested to see what that all comes out to be.
Yeah. When you were talking about like adding people to your crew and getting different stats sort of for your ship, that kind of made me think of one of the things I liked about Sid Meier's Pirates way back in the day was sort of this like pirate thing that I was talking about earlier with Starfield, where you can sort of go be a space pirate. One of the things you could do in Sid Meier's Pirates was you could like attack a ship, but before you sank it, you'd accept their surrender, and then they might have like, you know, a cook or like a skilled like craftsman of some sort that would be able to make your sails better, or they would be able to you'd find like a navigator or something, and so you could basically increase different attributes for your whatever ship you were using. And that like was so many years ago now. That was so long ago.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I love the idea of sort of bringing that forward into Starfield and making it. So, I mean, obviously there's a lot of other things to do in this game, but like you could be a space pirate.
Speaking of other things they've brought in from previous games, famously in Fallout 4, your little butler robot could say, I think like one of 500 names could call you your name if you put that as your name. And that your robot in this one, it sounds like, can also do that. So I don't know how many names they're going to have, but the robot was able to call, in the gameplay we saw, call him Howard. So that's obviously one of the names that it has. But I would assume it has our names, because we have pretty common names.
Yeah, that's true. I don't remember if I even used my name in Fallout 4 to see whether he could say my name or not.
I don't remember either. I remember there were some like cheeky ones, like you could call yourself some like rude things and he would call you that.
Yeah, I bet there's some of that in this game as well.
Lots of little details.
Yeah, I thought there was some cool stuff with like being able to add backgrounds and like traits and things like that. And how like different things would sort of impact like conversations later. Yeah. Or like how different interactions happened. And one of the ones they showed was like your biggest fan who, yeah, like you could add to your crew. I feel like that guy would be super annoying, but
well, they showed if you want it to stop happening, it sounds like there's a way to just like kill him.
Yeah, you might just be able to shoot him and get rid of him that way. But he was like, it made me think of, you remember in Mass Effect, there's like the one guy,
yeah,
I forget his name, who's like huge fan of Shepard. I was like, this is like that, but instead of him just being a weird guy that you found on the Citadel every now and then, he would be able to join your crew.
Yeah. Something else, I mean, like, it's so vast, and it makes me think that like the potential for DLC, like they could support this game for years and years and years, especially if the end of this game is like, oh, here's an alien civilization. Like they could very easily have like story DLCs for the next like, you know, 7 years, you know?
Yeah, they could always just like, oh, here's a new planet for you to discover. Yeah. And there's all kinds of stuff on it.
They said that that main town that I can't remember the name of now, the one that's in Alpha Centauri, that's the biggest city they've ever made, and like the highest number of assets they've ever had in a city, like unique assets.
Hmm. Yeah, I hope it runs well. Yeah. Is my biggest concern.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks great, and I definitely think with a showcase like this, I think it maybe got rid of some of the fears some people might have had. Mm. But it is gonna all depend on like how it runs.
It's true.
Out of the gate, I think people will, I hope it's not a cyberpunk situation. Where,
yeah, that's
like,
the fear. I mean, I think that's why they pushed it back so many times, is they saw what happened with cyberpunk and they were like, this cannot be us.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even if the narrative eventually becomes like it did with cyberpunk, where it's like, okay, it doesn't run well, it's got a bunch of bugs, but if you kind of look past that, the underlying game is good. Mm-hmm. Like, it could still end up being that. I hope it's not. I hope it is running well. They need to do what they did with Zelda, like have the game done in a playable state, ready to go, and then delay it for a full year just to give them that much time, to fix stuff and make it run. I mean,
who knows? Maybe that is what happened, you know?
Yeah, it could be.
Because when was this originally supposed to come out? It's been over a year, right? It's been delayed three times.
What was it, November 11th? 11-11 something?
21?
Was it 21 or 22? It was one of those two. And they've delayed it for nearly a full year.
Yeah.
If not, nearly a full year by the time it comes out. So maybe they did do that.
It'll remain to be seen. I've not pre-ordered it yet. Have you?
No, I don't know if I'm going to end up getting the collector's edition or not. I do think I already have a smartwatch, so I don't know if I would use the watch that's in that. The box does look cool, but
box looks cool. You get a patch.
Yeah, it's tempting. We'll see.
You know what else it said on that card? There's like a card like a graphic that shows you everything you get. It said up to 5 days early access.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know why they say up to 5 days. Like, are they going to say, actually, it's only going to be 2 days early access? Or I don't know how this is going. It's only going to be 1 day early access. But
I guess maybe it depends on how early you pre-order. Like, if it's already started and you pre-order, you're going to
I could see that. Like, I wonder also if they'll do like a... I don't know. I guess this isn't really I was going to say, I wonder if they would do like a stress test or something, but there is not really any online elements to this. It's just going to be the game.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't seem like there's any online modes, so. Which is good. They need to focus on single player story games.
But yeah, I think this showcase was an A for me. If Keeley's was a B, this was definitely an A. It had more things I was interested in, more surprises.
Yeah.
And even though the one more thing was predictable and not like, oh my God, here's Indiana Jones, like Harrison Ford is on stage now. It was still a good one more thing because it was this 45 minute Starfield direct. So yeah, I would rate this one an A.
I think Keeley's show was definitely like a B. And this is like maybe B plus A minus because I still think there was a lot of cinematic trailers.
You're right about that.
Like, there was a lot of here's an update to a game as service that I don't care about.
Yeah.
But like the highs were definitely higher than with Keeley's show.
I agree.
For sure. And then like I sort of count the Starfield thing as a separate thing, even though it was sort of tacked on at the very end there. Mm-hmm. But the Starfield direct was for sure like blew my mind. It was great. Yeah. So it definitely maybe earns a little extra points for that. So
is this it? Do you think we're not going to get any more? I mean, we'll probably get like a launch trailer for Starfield, but
yeah, I'm sure they'll do like some story trailers and like a launch trailer or something like that. And maybe they'll do some of those little like developer videos that they release on their YouTube channel or something like that. But yeah, it might be it. And I feel like there's enough here that those like YouTube channels can do their deep dives. And like,
I'm excited to, once those get made, I'm excited to take a look at those.
Yeah, same. So there definitely will be that. I'm very excited for this. I still think it could end up being my game of the year, even though Zelda's so good. And
it's going to be hard.
I'm still playing it, but
I don't know. I really don't know at this point. I think fan favorite Zelda will probably get it no matter what, but I don't know what my personal game of the year will be, but I know that most people will probably lean Zelda.
That's fair. For most everyone else, it probably will end
as
up
a wider
Zelda.
Appeal.
Yeah, but for me personally, this one might end up being my game of the year.
Be interesting to see.
It'll definitely have recency bias on its
for sure
for it. So I think that's everything. This is a different different podcast. We're not doing our, we did our normal weekly podcast, and this is sort of a bonus, so we don't have to go over what we're playing, watch, or anything like that.
Now, but next week, so we'll have two shows to talk about at least, because the Ubisoft is happening tomorrow, as well as Capcom. And maybe that's all we'll have to talk about. Maybe there will be a Nintendo thing, but
yeah,
we'll have more to talk about next week for sure. Summer Games Fest is not over yet.
Right. I guess we didn't do parting wisdom on the last episode. So do you have any parting wisdom?
You know what a good way to make a hot dog is?
Grill it.
Grill it, but also cut it in half lengthwise.
Oh, yeah. So you cook it from the inside out.
I got a... That's how Five Guys does it. On a whim, I got a hot dog at Five Guys, and they cut it in half, and then they grill it, like, flat side down. And then they cut the bun in half as well, lengthwise. And so it's, like, kind of just a long hamburger. And it, I think it's the best way to cook a hot dog.
I worked at a fast food restaurant when I was in high school, and that's how they did it as well. You cut the hot dog in half, and you kind of split it open, and you put the inside down on the grill, and then you like one of those little presser things on it. You just kind of rest it on it, and then you put the bun on the grill as well.
That sounds great to me, and that's my parting wisdom for the day.
And on that note, go ahead and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Starside Cafe, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.